This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
God bless the peacemaker. That's the headline for the Jerusalem Post. They landed a second viral cover in 4 days. That's right. Having directed the deal that brought home the final 20 Israeli hostages and ended the Gaza war, U.S. President Donald Trump took a victory lap at the Knesset, delivering a 65-minute address that often felt like a lengthy acceptance speech at the Oscars. He began his free-form remarks by doing something that neither the Knesset speaker, Israel's prime minister, nor the opposition leader had thought to do. He said, "We give our deepest thanks to Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Wow. We give our greatest thanks to Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Declaring this was the historic dawn of a new Middle East. Trump then praised Benjamin Netanyahu as a man of exceptional courage and patriotism. Said he's not the easiest guy to deal with, but that's what makes him great. And so, today, the world is wondering what hit them, in a good way. It's as if history and prophecy have converged. History and prophecy have converged, and who knows where all this is going. Except God. And that's what we want to talk about here on the Viewpoint program today. I'm so glad that you've joined us. It's conversation with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And God has something to say about this, believe it or not. You may not hear it very many places because everybody wants to exult in sort of a fleshly manner. And I understand. I mean, who couldn't be excited about this resolution of decades, even purportedly centuries of opposition and antagonism between Islam, Gaza, Hamas, Iran, all of the above, and Israel, God's chosen people. No wonder leaders of the Jewish nation were cheering for American Democrats called Hitler. They said it's truly a goosebumps moment. Indeed it is. Top leaders of the Jewish nation of Israel caught on video, multiple videos, actually cheering for President Donald Trump, who had been described by Democrats and other leftists as Hitler. Wow. We want to talk about all of this. We are talking about it, and we're going to talk even more about it here on the program today. They said it was peace through strength, understanding why Trump succeeded where others failed. Indeed, that's absolutely true. So the Jerusalem Post today, front page, contained the headline, "God Bless the Peacemaker." It was circulated widely across social media. Within hours of publication, marking the paper's second viral cover in a week. The cover features a full-page black and white portrait of Donald Trump with a banner reading, "God Bless the Peacemaker," set in a U.S. flag motif. A message of thanks attributed on the page to Sylvan Adams, identified as president of World Jewish Congress, Israel. The front page appeared amid the ongoing implementation of the ceasefire and staged hostage release. And so, all of that today with this headline for the Jerusalem Post, everyone going to join Abraham Accords, Trump says at the Egypt Peace Summit. Wait a minute, the Egypt Peace Summit. I thought that the children of Israel called to come out of Egypt. And now they've gone back to Egypt. Donald Trump signs deal ending Gaza war at Egypt summit. Called to come out of Egypt. Now they've gone back to Egypt. What does that mean? Did you know that the Bible even prophesied that? God said that to Moses. You'll find it at the end of Deuteronomy chapter 28. Everyone going to join the Abraham Accords, Trump says, at the Egypt Peace Summit. Now, wait a minute. We're talking about the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's Israel. And the physical descendants and spiritual descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael, which would include the Arabs, which would also include followers of Islam that have merged, in effect, with the Arab nations, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. And now Ishmael and Isaac and their descendants that have been at eternal war with one another since Abraham birthed, or Sarah, Abraham's wife, birthed Isaac. They've been at war with one another for 4,000 years. And now, this would seem, at least people are representing, this is the big deal. This is the final resolution. Donald Trump called it last week eternal peace. Then later on, in another time, he called it everlasting peace. What is it? What do you think it is? Everybody is exulting. Trump is being exalted as the peacemaker, and understandably so. Who else has been able to do this? Everyone is saying only Trump could have done this. What is it about Donald Trump that enables him to do this when no one else could even come close? Couldn't even have the vision to do it. U.S. President Donald Trump came to Israel to showcase his peace through strength doctrine. He spoke about the new bonds of cooperation, commerce, and commerce that could develop in the Middle East. He mentioned a series of connections that could come to pass, including a vision of trade that links Haifa to Beirut and as well as Jerusalem to Damascus, Tel Aviv to Dubai, India to Pakistan, Saudi to Qatar, Indonesia to Iraq, and Syria to Bahrain. Trump also mentioned Turkey and Jordan, the UAE and Oman, and linked America to Azerbaijan. He said that Israel, the U.S., and the nations of the region will be safer, stronger, and more prosperous than in the past. Trump said that he loved Israel, was with Israel all the way. He said the country would be stronger now. And he ended on high note, blessing Israel, the U.S., and the Middle East. In his words, he showed how he has been able to successfully navigate the region and bring peace. Put an outstretched arm and hand to a possible deal with Iran. Wow. We need to talk about the implications of this, don't we? And we will after this break.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues, and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Crismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. Today on Viewpoint, we take a look at this historic event as history and prophecy are merging this very day as the Feast of Tabernacles is winding up on the great day of Tabernacles that remembers or actually forecasts, looks to the future when Yeshua, Jesus Christ, HaMashiach, the Holy One of Israel, comes to rule and to reign and to tabernacle among his people. Today. And this is the day that Israel went back to Egypt. This is the day when the whole world has gone to Egypt, trusting in the shadow of Egypt. It must have really been amazing for Mr. El-Sisi there, heading up the government of Egypt, to have been in presence with Donald Trump and to have their picture taken for a big billboard. It must have been an amazing celebration, because Egypt has always been in opposition with Israel, except with one exception, and that is when Joseph was taken to Egypt, sold by his brothers, the children of Israel, by the way, because of their envy, he was sold into Egypt and ultimately raised up as a type of Christ to save Israel economically in the midst of a famine. As Israel then went to Egypt and received the hospitality that the then Pharaoh, who had appointed Joseph as his vice president, shall we say, to wear his own signet. And so Israel was blessed and protected from famine under the shadow of Egypt and in the largesse and hospitality of Egypt. But then there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And then things didn't go well for Israel. In fact, they were put under slavery and made to build treasure cities, Pison and Ramses. And increasingly, for several hundred years, the Bible says 400 years, they were held bondage. I think that's the total number of years that Israel actually was in Egypt, maybe not all of them under bondage, but nevertheless, they were in Egypt for 400 years. And the interesting thing about this is that if you read, I believe it's in the book of Isaiah, it says that in the latter days, God is going to do something to unite Egypt, that's been everlasting animosity ever since the Pharaoh arose who knew not Joseph. And ever since Islam took over Egypt. But the Bible says something very fascinating, that Egypt and Assyria, that also took the children of Israel captive and dispersed them, the 10 northern tribes, are going to become one in blessing with Israel. Now go figure. But why would that be? Well, here's why I think that is. And the Bible doesn't actually tell us why, but I think the reason is this. Because Egypt showed hospitality to Israel under dire circumstances. When Joseph was there as the viceroy of Egypt under Pharaoh. For many years, Israel was shown hospitality and provision, even given the best of the land of Goshen. All the rest of it was not pleasing to God. And God said, woe to them that go down into Egypt. Woe to them that trust in the shadow of Pharaoh. Isaiah chapter 30. Woe to them. Well, now, all the nations have gone back to Egypt. That's where the big agreement has been signed. That's where all the celebration is taking place. Well, woe to them that go back into Egypt. Did you know that God said to Israel that because of their disobedience, if they would not follow his word, his will, and his ways, that all these curses would come upon them. And the final one was, you're going to go back to Egypt. So, having gone back to Egypt, now are they trusting in the shadow of Egypt? Or trusting in the shadow of Donald J. Trump? Or somebody else's shadow, the shadow of America? Or is it the shadow of God? Fortunately, Donald J. Trump made the fascinating statement. Our deepest thanks go to Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said that at the Knesset. Well, that was an important thing. But it didn't mean our thanks go to Yeshua, Jesus Christ, the Son of the Almighty God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He carefully avoided that. Why? That would not sell well in Israel. In fact, it wouldn't sell well in among any of the nations that were gathered there, and there were many. It wouldn't sell well among the Arab nations. It wouldn't sell well among the Islamic nations. It wouldn't even sell well among the Western nations that were represented there, including Canada. Didn't mention Jesus. But most people would think, well, this is a good thing. He gave deepest thanks to the Almighty God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I do believe that's a good thing. But it's missing the best thing. And that's always what's missing. Everybody wants to say, well, they believed in God. Friends, the devil believes in God and trembles. That's what the Bible says. We seem to forget a lot of things that the Bible says because we don't feel comfortable remembering them. We'd rather look on the positive side but not see what God says about the other side of that. And we're going to take a look at that here today on Viewpoint. Not because we're going to put down the peace accord, not because we're going to put down the fact that Mr. Trump wants to expand the Abraham Accords to include virtually all of the Muslim nations in accord with Israel. But then again, I have another biblical admonition that comes to my mind. Come ye apart and be ye separate. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters. So how do you enter into accord as one when you're not in accord? When most of those that are pretending to be in accord, while they're the descendants of Abraham, are not the descendants of Isaac and Jacob or Yeshua, Jesus. In fact, they don't even believe in him. And they believe that it's blasphemy to believe in him. But then again, the Jewish people also believe that it's blasphemy to believe in Jesus as the only begotten Son of God, full of grace and truth. So maybe they are in one accord. It's a fascinating picture. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, who are the unbelievers? Some could argue that they all believe in God, so none of them are unbelievers. That's the view of Tony Blair, the former Prime Minister of the UK, who is now going to head up the peace plan. And Mr. Tony Blair is the one who abandoned Protestantism, abandoned the Anglican Church in England, and went immediately to the Vatican and fraternized with the Pope, and then went back to New York and formed his peace plan to unite the religions of the world, saying that religion is the new politics. So for Tony Blair, we have a guy who's going to be heading up this, the functionality of this peace plan, who believes that the real issue is to unite the religions of the world as one. Now, how do you do that? Well, isn't that the real vision of a counterfeit Christ? The whole beast system is to unite the religions of the world so that the people will all purport to be of the one mind and one heart, and they'll worship the beast and his image and take a mark. And those who will not take the mark are considered to be not peacemakers, to be opposed to peace. So men will cry, peace, peace, but there will be no peace, even in the face of internationally celebrated peace. You see, this is the problem that we have as Christians. And in reality, it's the problem that Israel has as well, because Israel is the one that gave birth to the scriptures. Jesus, Yeshua, was the only obedient Israelite ever in the history of the planet. He was of the seed of David by lineage, a Jew. He was the seed of Abraham by faith, who was a Syrian. Not a Hebrew, a Syrian. Oh, now we understand why God would say through the prophet Isaiah that in the end of the age, both Egypt and Syria would become, from God's viewpoint, blessed with Israel. Why? Egypt gave hospitality to Israel in its difficult moment. Abraham, the father of the faith, was a Syrian. Therefore, because Abraham was a Syrian, God is going to show favor ultimately to Assyria. So Egypt and Assyria will be deemed one to be blessed with Israel, as stated in the book of Isaiah. Did you know that? But we're not there yet. This is not that moment. This is a moment where the whole, both Israel and all of the world, went back to Egypt. Trusting to a certain extent in the shadow of Egypt. God says, woe to them that trust in Egypt. Over 400 times from Genesis to Revelation, God calls his people, both Israel and anyone who would purport to follow the Lord through Jesus Christ, to come out of Egypt. Over 400 times. It is the number one theme that weaves its way from Genesis to Revelation in the Bible. Nothing even close. Nothing so repeated. Why? Because Egypt represents a trust factor that is inimical, antithetic, in opposition to trusting God. It's not the geographical location called Egypt that God opposes. God isn't opposed to an Egyptian person. He's opposed to the spirit of Egypt. And I want to talk to you more about that when we get back from this break. What we're doing is weaving together a whole lot of history and prophecy so that we can put what's happening this very day, momentous as it is, in biblical perspective. Hope it's making some sense to you, but hang in there. We're going to continue.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Before we go further, I want to make available to you my book, Out of Egypt. My wife happens to think it's the best and most important book I ever wrote. More and more people are saying they're getting the book, and I'm just amazed at the people that are getting that book and are coming back to me and saying, wow. Wow. Out of Egypt. It is... I believe it was a book that was so inspired early on. And it's a message that underlies every end time message of the Bible. And very few people even refer to it. In the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 8, it's talking about the two great witnesses of the end times. Everybody's speculating as to who they are. We're not going to talk about who they are. You don't know who they are, neither do I. People speculate that it might be Elijah and Enoch. It might be Moses and Elijah. It might be. We're not going to speculate on that today. But there are going to be two great witnesses in the end times that are going to be wooing and warning the world as never before. They're going to be able to stop rain. They're going to be able to do a number of things. And the world is going to hate their living guts, seek to kill them. And then you get to Revelation 11:8, that after about 3 years of their testimony, God is going to remove his protective hand from them. And the Bible says that they're going to be killed and their bodies will lie in the street, singular, of that city, singular, which spiritually is called both Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. One day, 35 years ago, I was reading through that passage, and I got to that verse, and it stunned me. Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified? What could that possibly be? Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord is crucified? How in the world could that possibly be? Well, I got to thinking, and I asked the Lord, what does this mean? I cannot go on unless you help me to understand what this means. And out of that came an entire book called Out of Egypt that ties together every major biblical theme of the Bible, all the major theological themes of the Bible together in a way that's unmistakable and helps to glue the Bible together in a way some people would even argue with, generally speaking, but it's pretty hard to argue when you put it all together. It's like the pieces of the puzzle all come together, and you see the big picture? Wow. The book is available to you for $15 on our website. Should be $25, but it's $15 on our website, saveus.org. Get a copy of it. Give us a call at 1-800-SAVE-USA. write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. Writing a check, add $6 for postage and handling. Again, the website, saveus.org. Call 1-800-SAVE-USA or go to or write to us. Now, I want to look here at a number of headlines that came on Newsmax today. I just want to recite these headlines for you. They're fascinating. Trump says rebuilding Gaza maybe is the easiest part. What do you think he means there? I think he means you can rebuild something on the ground, but you can't rebuild it in their hearts. That's going to be a whole different ballgame. How are you going to bring peace to people that have been at war with one another for 4,000 years? Yeah, that's what's hard. And it seems to me that the Bible tells us the only way to reconcile all of that is when they all embrace Yeshua as Savior of the world, not just Savior of Jews, but Savior of Muslims, Savior of Armenians, Savior of Persians, whatever, that he is the Savior of the world. But bringing the point to that is going to be a challenge, my friends. And it's not a challenge that a man, even Donald Trump, can fulfill. Only the Holy Spirit of God can do that, because no man comes to the Father but the Holy Spirit draw him. Next headline, Trump to the Knesset, historic dawn of the new era. What a term, historic dawn. In other words, the beginning of a whole new era. Well, how long will that era be? He said it was going to be an eternal peace. Then he said it was going to be an everlasting peace, which means the same thing. Historic dawn of an everlasting peace? Wait a minute. I thought the Bible said that there would be no peace ultimately until the Prince of Peace, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Holy One of Israel, Jesus, ruled and reigned. Ruled and reigned from where? The Temple Mount. Oh, now wait a minute. The Muslim world intends to rule and reign not from Mecca or Medina, but from Jerusalem. The Vatican has already declared in writing that they intend that the Pontifex Maximus, shortly called the Pontiff, will not rule from the Vatican, but will rule and reign from the Temple Mount, Jerusalem. Now, how is this possible? When Jerusalem and the Temple Mount are right there in the land that was eternally leasehold to Israel, the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. How is this going to be the dawn of a new era that's going to continue everlasting when all of those competitors plus others are seeking to become king of the mountain and rule and reign from Jerusalem? You think that's not going to be a big deal? You think the battle of Hamas against Israel is the biggest deal? You ain't seen nothing yet, my friend. We're going to see deviancy defined, increased, magnified manyfold. The Bible tells us about it. That the nations of the earth, not just Hamas, the nations of the earth are going to surround Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 12. Take a look again. This is not going to be an eternal peace. This will be for a period of time, and I cannot tell you what that period of time will be. Maybe we will eventually hear of an expressed period of time, but to date we have not. Trump signed the Gaza deal today. He says it's an incredible day for the world. I would agree. It's an incredible day for the world from the world's perspective, but it's not the end of everything. Yes, Trump did what no world leader could do. That's another headline. Trump said to the Knesset, this is a triumph for the world. Middle East peace, a triumph for the world. I would agree. But for how long? You see, people have very, very short understanding. They don't know the Bible and they don't want to. Senator Blackburn said Trump is the peace president. Who can deny that? This makes 8 wars that he's settled. The only one still remaining that I know of is the Ukraine-Russian war. So where is this going? When Trump signs the deal ending the Gaza war in Egypt, but what's coming next? Well, we know that Turkey and Erdogan in Turkey has done everything he can, to turn Turkey into a fundamentalist Islamic nation. He has been trying to stir up trouble with Syria to gain dominion on behalf of Turkey. They're not Arabs. And they're not Iranians. They're Turks. And he believes that Turkey is to rule the world for Islam. So are they going to enter into a peace accord with Israel when Erdogan of Turkey believes we have only one God but Allah? And how about Iran? The Iranians under Khomeini, they believe they have been ordained to rule the world for Sharia law. And that's why they needed the nuclear power to tyrannize the world. That's the reason they wanted the nuclear power. Because they believed they had to have that kind of power to threaten the world and to bring the world under Sharia law. Now all that is at risk. Yet Iran and Turkey represent two radically different branches of Islam that despise one another. And each wants to rule the world from Jerusalem. Where is this going? Where's the peace? We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for a greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Whether you want to call it the dawn, historic dawn of a new era, an incredible day for the world, a triumph for the world, any of these phrases which have true significant application and implication, But the problem with them is they don't take into accord what the Bible has to say about the Middle East and about Israel and about the world. Now, when you ignore what God has to say about things, you're going to have a problem. So man's wisdom now is being manifested, and it's a true, virtually unbelievable thing that's taking place. No question about it. It is a historical day for the world, but it's also a historical day in the midst of the trajectory of biblical prophecy, and that's what nobody's looking at, and that's what we're trying to look at here today. A feature that became clear in Trump's speech to the Knesset is how much personal relationships matter to Trump. He talks about his friendships with these people and that people and so on. He's willing to do things differently because he doesn't trust orthodoxies and sacred cows. Another theme of Trump's policy is his transactionalism. He wants to see countries invest in the U.S. He wants the U.S. to get something also. He doesn't like foreign policy of charity. He wants America's friendship to be valued and honored. He's able to get this honor by working closely with foreign leaders like Turkey's president and the leaders of Egypt, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the UAE. He said himself in his address to the Knesset, "My personality is all about stopping wars." Now, who could be against that? His message in the speech was about hope and harmony and opportunity. He spoke about the need to embrace opportunities. Stop looking at things in the old way. He had to go to war to win. But he said, "My personality is all about stopping wars. How Lebanon could prosper and how it might build peace with its neighbors." He wants Israel to understand the grand strategy of peace through strength. He doesn't want to see Israel fighting against the world in terms of the sunk cost of more battles in Gaza. So he says, "Now is the time to translate these victories into the prize of peace and prosperity." He talks about making a deal. That's what he's about. How to make a deal. And he knows how to do it. He knows how things work. He's not stuck with a Republican mandate or a Democrat mandate. He has a different mandate. He believes that his mandate is actually a constitutional mandate, but even more than that. Somehow he senses it's a personal mandate. Now, where that goes, I cannot tell you, and neither can you tell me. Because only God knows the heart. So I would not criticize what Donald Trump has done. And no one should take what is being said on this program today as critical of what Donald Trump has done. It's something from the worldly standpoint, from a non-spiritual standpoint, something to be celebrated. No question about it. But now we're going to talk about another aspect. We're going to talk about a bigger picture. You see, our tendency is to view things with our hands right up front in our face. This is what we're confronted with right now. This is what we're going to deal with right now. Trump has a much bigger picture. His vision is much bigger. But God's vision is bigger yet. God's vision is much bigger yet. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. Because God tells us what his vision is. God says that he's going to unite the world in Jesus Christ. He's not going to unite the world with an Abram Accord. He's going to unite the world with a Jesus Accord. He's not going to unite the world with a God accord because everybody believes in God. He's going to unite the world with a Jesus accord. That all the world is going to come together in Christ. That is, all the world that is going to be saved. And the rest will be damned, the Bible says. No matter how many accords they enter into, no matter how many earthly peace agreements they entered into. Because ultimately, there's not going to be peace. You cannot have peace in your heart without peace with God through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible teaches. We either agree with that or we don't. Pastors either agree with that or they don't. Parachurch leaders either agree with that or they don't. I pity Christian politicians who come on the airwaves and talk only from a worldly viewpoint. They're missing the point. They might be pandering to the people and pleasing them for a moment, but I guarantee you they're not pleasing God. Because if we're going to please God, we have to give God's view. That's why viewpoint determines destiny. It just does. There are no other viewpoints that matter. So we want to find out what God's viewpoint is. And what does he say about peace? He says that there's going to be a peace. Exactly what it looks like, we don't know. But in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38 and 39, we find that at a period of time in the latter days of the last days, we're in the latter days of the last days right now. We're not in the final days, but we're in the latter part of the last days that began 2,000 years ago at the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. That's when the last days began and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So, we're now at a time when Ezekiel 38 tells us there's going to be a time when Israel is at seeming peace, which means peace in the Middle East. Israel cannot be at peace unless there's peace with Israel in the Middle East. So what's happening here is this is paving the way for the fulfillment of what is going to take place in Ezekiel 38 and 39. So what's going to take place in Ezekiel 38 and 39 when Israel is at relative peace and living in a land of unwalled villages? In other words, they're not afraid anymore. They're not afraid of attacks from Hamas. They're not afraid of rockets coming in from Hezbollah. They're not afraid of any of that anymore. Everything's wonderful. Everything's cool. The world is blissful. And so it's going to be a time of considerable prosperity. The Bible seems to make that pretty clear. Maybe a time of greater prosperity than ever in the history of the world. Mr. Trump keeps talking about prosperity, and he sees how things can be done and put together, and I understand that. I really do. As a businessman, a former lawyer and businessman, I understand that. I understand how he works, his methodology. It makes sense to me. However, the Bible makes it clear that at a point, something is going to happen, trigger a bunch of nations. And they're going to secretly confederate, beginning with Russia in the north, and Iran, and Syria, and Gomer, and Togarma, whoever those people are, and they're going to attack Israel when she's at peace, without warning, to take a spoil. Now, why would they do that? Something is going to trigger it. And I have a belief, my firm belief, and I cannot verify with chapter and verse, but I do believe that it has to do with Israel discovering oil. That oil is going to issue forth from Israel in a gusher, and it's going to so threaten the economies of Russia and Iran and many other, Libya and many other nations with them, that so it will break apart that peace. And then it will spread. Five-sixths of the entire army that attacks Israel at that time is going to be destroyed by God. It says so in Ezekiel 39. Then it's going to lead to another whole time in which the nations of the south and the nations of the north, including the west, and the nations of the east, are going to come into a momentous clash at Armageddon. That's what's going to happen. It's not going to be peaceful. Now, somebody is going to arise that the world will see as the Prince of Peace. And that somebody, whoever it is going to choreograph an empire that will ultimately facilitate the rebuilding of the temple. And the Jewish people will be exultant. They'll just be beside themselves. This has to be the Messiah. Maimonides, the famous historical rabbi back there in the Middle Ages that the Jewish people just revere, said, whoever assists us in rebuilding the temple will definitely be the Messiah. In other words, a counterfeit. Jesus said, I came to you in my Father's name, and you rejected me. But there is one coming in his own name, and him you will receive. That, my friends, is going to bring the ultimate curse upon Israel. Two-thirds of the Jewish people in the world are going to lose their lives as a result of that false trust. Zechariah chapter, 11 to 13 tells us that. You see, we need to look at the whole of the Bible. What does this mean for you and for me? It doesn't mean that we wish the worst upon Israel or anybody else. It means we put our trust in God and his son Jesus Christ and nobody else. We don't go back to Egypt. We don't trust in the spirit of Egypt. We don't trust in the Vatican. We don't trust in the Pope. We don't trust in the UN. We don't trust in the EU. We don't trust in anybody other than the God who made and preserved us a nation here and the God who created Israel and chose them as the apple of his eye. Only a remnant will inherit through the true Prince of Peace. I hope this is somewhat helpful to get a bigger picture on what has just taken place, which is momentous, no question about it. Momentous, history and prophecy converging right before our eyes. It's unbelievable, and yet believable. Thanks for joining us. Get a copy of the book, Out of Egypt. You'll be blessed to get it. $15 on our website, saveus.org. Call us, 1-800-SAVE-USA. Write to us at Save America Ministries at $6 for postage and handling. God bless. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. True. Pray for them. Pray for our country. Pray for our president. Look, we all have to put our trust in the Lord and no one else. God bless. Be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.